Hey man, I just would like to let you know that, when Becca heard that music, it's Bethel Church does it, and they have a CD out without words, and it's To Our God. And when she heard it, she just got the whole message. So she had, that the choreography in her mind and stuff, and then with the help of the rest of them, they choreographed the whole thing, and I'm just so proud of them, and just that, God's just releasing that creativeness through them, that just to speak messages. And that's what it was this morning. It was a message. And it was so great because, like Cindy shared, the kids tied right into it. They can be dismissed now, the children. Sorry. their lesson tied right into that. And she, talked more about the peer pressure side of it. And this morning, I just want to talk about, what our struggle is sometimes. And we have a struggle with time or just a struggle with different things, life, because we work, we have family, we have activities going on and all that. but Becca represented me and she represented you. She represented someone that has already accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. She represented that person that has accepted and loves Jesus and is in the process of developing those desires that God has placed within her. but, there's life and there's things that tug for your attention. And we, Heather represented family and friends. Becca started out like that ballerina on the music box. She was being wound up and her movements were jerky, and just the influence from friends and family can sometimes just stifle those plans and purposes that God has in your life. Nick represented vocation, and Zeke just represented activities. There's many other things that could have been represented. That's the number of people we had. So those are just a few examples. But we could also be represented by even like programs and plans that we're involved in, or even ministries and stuff. And it's what Pastor John said this morning. It's all about, in the middle of our life, we have to continue to seek Jesus Christ. We cannot let that be something that is just not prominent in our life. and sometimes when we, those things aren't bad things, but when they cause us to get our focus off of God and just let their influence come into us, they can stifle our spiritual growth and we become complacent. And some other things that could also cause that is health issues, financial problems, etc. But so when Becca, she was encountering all that, and then because of that oppression, because of that, the struggle with different things, that cloak of oppression, which represent that the dark, the black, came upon her. But she's still saved, and God still loves her. And but she was dealing with all of that. And, thank the Lord for Jesus. He always comes on the scene. That was just that. But we all encounter slumps, peer pressure, and difficult people and situations one time or another. And it's easy for us to allow ourselves to establish our identities in those circumstances. We can establish our identity in titles, and we can do it by who family or friends say that we are. And so how do we keep ourselves from being like that walking stick bug that blends in with its surroundings, or like that frog in the boiling pot? Pastor John uses this analogy. I don't know if, I'm sure some of you have heard it before, but you can drop a frog into a boiling pot of water and he's gonna hop out. But if you put that frog in room temperature water and you gradually turn up the heat, his body is gonna get accustomed to that and he's gonna stay in that pot until what? Till death, till he's boiled. And so my question this morning is, and we're gonna look at what an answer that has come to me is, how do we keep our relationship with Jesus alive? Increasing our desire to know him more so we don't come complacent, so we don't become satisfied with ourselves where we are spiritually, and that we're not overwhelmed with circumstances that we may encounter. Because you know what? The Christian life isn't a promise that it's easy or it's pain-free, because it's not. But I believe it starts with understanding our union with Christ Jesus. who we are in Christ and having our identity in Him. And that's just what I want to share a little bit. I am going to be using the Passion Translation, which isn't one that we have. So actually, if you just, I would rather you just jot down the scripture text and then just listen to the how it's worded in this translation, and then on your own, you know, study it and meditate on what it is. Okay. The first one is 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're starting with verse 6 through 10. Okay, this is Paul writing to Timothy, and you know, he loved Timothy like a son. They had a very kindred relationship. And he's writing to Timothy, and he's, you know, telling him that that he's thankful for what he's doing. And he's reminded him about, you know, his faith that was passed down from his grandmother and his mother. So Timothy had this faith that was passed down, a generational thing. So he had access to that. But this is what Paul's telling him that Timothy needs to do. I am writing to encourage you to fan into a flame and rekindle, which means to awaken or excite, the fire of the spiritual gift God imparted to you. For the anointing was activated when I laid my hands upon you. Keep the inner power of your spiritual gifts alive and strong. For God will never give you the spirit of cowardly fear, but He has given you the mighty spirit of power, love, and revelation light. So never be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor be embarrassed over my imprisonment, but overcome every evil by the revelation of the power of God. He gave us resurrection life and drew us to Himself by His holy calling on our lives. And it wasn't because of any good we have done. You know, it's nothing that we could have done or that we have done. It's all because of grace and God. But by His divine pleasure and marvelous grace that confirmed our union with the anointed Jesus, even before time began. And that's what I really want us to get today, is our union with anointed Jesus. Even before time began, we were united with Christ. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Timothy, my dear son, live your life empowered by God's free-flowing grace, which is your true strength, found in the anointing of Jesus and your union with Him. So we'll jump down to verse 3 and 4. Overcome every form of evil as a victorious soldier of Jesus, the Anointed One. For every soldier called to active duty must divorce himself from the distractions of this world so he may fully satisfy the one who chose him. So, I mean, he's telling him here there are going to be distractions. There's going to be things that's going to try to pull you away from God. You know, the enemy's not going to want you to just go full out and live for the kingdom and bring all these people in without giving up a fight. And he's telling them that, you know, you need to pull yourself away from that, and you need to satisfy yourself in the one who chose him, the one who chose each one of you. He chose you before you even chose him. He chose you before the beginning of time. Before you were born, you were chosen. The beginning of verse 8. But make Jesus the Anointed One your focus in life and ministry. And I really believe that once that we understand our identity in Christ, and it's a process for me, you know, and this isn't something that I have it, you know, it's something that I'm speaking about because I'm going through it and I'm learning as I go. But once we find our identity in Christ, we will never be the same. Never. So let's go to Ephesians 1. We're going to start with verse 4 through 11. And it starts out with verse 4. And He chose us to be His very own, joining us to Himself even before He laid the foundation of the universe. Because of His great love, He ordained us, which means He set us apart, that He marked us with His love. He ordained us as one with Christ from the beginning, so that we would be seen as holy in His eyes with an unstained innocence. For it was always His perfect plan to adopt us or to establish us as His delightful children, so that His tremendous grace that cascades over us would bring Him glory. For the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. So that same love that he has for Jesus, which I can't even imagine what, I can't even imagine how that is. The creator of the universe, the great I am, the one we sang about, that holds the universe in his hand, that same love that he has for, you know, another part of the Godhead, Jesus, the man made, you know, flesh, the Son of God, he has for us. He has that same love for us, and he chose us because of that love. Verse 7, since we are now joined to Christ, we have been given the treasures of salvation by his blood, the total cancellation of our sins, all because of the cascading riches of his grace. This superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us and flooding into every part of our being, releasing within us all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. And through the revelation of the Anointed One, he unveiled his secret desires to us, the hidden mystery of his long-range plan, which he was delighted to implement from the very beginning of time. You know, this is one thing that I've been learning lately. God's not surprised when things come up. It's like when we go through circumstance or something happens and, you know, we're struggling or we're discouraged, or it's not like, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen to her. I've got to put a plan into place. You know, I've got to come up with an idea to take care of it. No, from the beginning of time, he knows it all. And this detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time until the fulfillment of all the ages finally reaches its climax, when God makes all things new in all of heaven and earth through Jesus Christ. This is why God selected and ordained us to be his own inheritance through our union with Christ. Before we were even born, he gave us our destiny, that we would fulfill the plan of God, who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart. So, you know, there's a plan and there's a destiny, and God always wants that fulfilled, you know, but there's a part that we play in this. We have to seek after him. It's not like we have to try to figure it out. Like Pastor John used, you know, seek ye first. When we're seeking him and we're seeking the kingdom daily, it's going to be revealed to us. We're jumping over to Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 6. I figured the word can preach better than anything that I can say, so that's what you're getting, the word. And his fullness even fills you, who were once like corpse, dead in your sins and offenses. It wasn't that long ago that you lived in the religion, customs, and values of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of our self-life. We live by whatever our natural cravings and thoughts of our minds dictated, living as rebellious children subject to God's wrath like everyone else. But God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many lives, he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ, the Exalted One, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm, for we are now joined as one with Christ. You know, when something's repeated again and again in Scripture, it's pretty important and something we ought to take note with. And there's a lot of times that he's reminding us and telling us that we are joined with Christ. Okay, down to verse 10. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. Verse 13. Although you were once distant and far away from God, now you have been brought diligently close to him through the sacred blood of Jesus, that you have actually been united in Christ. And verse 18, and now because we are united to Christ and to each other, we both have equal and direct access in the realm of the Holy Spirit to come before the Father. So Christ, when he said on that cross, it is finished. It was finished. The cancellation of all the sins, the cancellation of the sins of everyone, not just for the people in church, the ones that have accepted Jesus, the sins are canceled. It's up to us to receive that, to apply that blood to our own life. But, you know, he already took care of it from the cross. He canceled it. He canceled it all. And you know what? And the Holy Spirit, he sent a spirit, the Holy Spirit, which, you know, Pentecost today. And he's there and to help us, to guide us, direct us. And because of what Christ has done, we have access to the Father. We have access to that heavenly realm, to the Father. But you know what? We have to want to go to the Father. We have to diligently go there. It's just not going to fall on our lap or whatever. We have to seek it. We have to go after it. We have to desire it. It is so holy, and this is how I look at it. He is so holy and so worthy that it's just not something to take lightly, and he just throws it out there. You know, it's a treasure that you have to go after, and it's not easy, and it takes time, and you need to sacrifice things. You might not be able to do everything you want to do or, you know, set apart some time to do it, but it is so worth it. It is so worth it. Let's jump over to Galatians 2:20. My old life was crucified with Christ and no longer lives, for I was fully united with him in his death. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine, for Christ lives his life through me. My real life is Christ. We live as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine. So we're not even like, I'm here, Jesus is here. It's like, I'm here, Jesus is here. We're connected, we're united. And you know, sometimes it takes us hitting rock bottom, just like Becca, you know, to the point that she's on the floor. She can't take it anymore. The discouragement, the, you know, the influences, whatever it is, the trials that she's going through, that, you know what, that she's, and she's like, she knows that Jesus is there for her, but sometimes she gets distracted. And when we hit rock bottom, sometimes that's when it causes us that, you know what, we can't do anything about it in our own power. It's only for him. And we lift our eyes to him and we look. but, you know, Jesus has never went anywhere. He's there. We may not have seen him because of everything that's going on and our trials and whatever, but he was there and he was there to pick us up. I just want to share a little bit of what I've been going through lately. And I don't know, it started a few months ago, a couple months ago. It's just, you know, it just seemed like one situation after another, you know, and just discouragement was trying to come. And but I'm so thankful that we have a body that just, I know people pray for each other without even having to say people are going through stuff, you know, that they're there. And Deb had given me a word during prayer one morning a couple months ago, and I'm so thankful she gave me that word. And but she just said to me that she sees me like in a vortex, and like, you know, Star Wars thing or something, you know, you're seeing a vortex. But around me, all this chaos was going, and around me, and like, because of that chaos, it was trying to push me down. But God was using this as a time to train me to be able to stand in the midst of chaos and to have peace and to trust him. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's a good word, you know. Well, I didn't really know, like, how much that I needed to hear that until, you know, you're going through stuff. And I'm reminded, okay, wait a minute. This is a time for me to, you know, to hear what God's saying, to take note, you know, but that's still not easy. That's not easy. And so, you know, it was just, and it's not like, you know, anything big or specific or just little things that can bring just discouragement. And so I was, you know, I wasn't pulling away from God. I was listening to teachings and, you know, worship and prayer and stuff. But, you know, he was also speaking to me too about I kept getting these proverbs about wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And I'm like, okay, why do we have to use three words? Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And I knew there was a difference there. And I'm like, okay, I need to figure this out. Well, he was sort of showing me along the way that, you know, even though I knew that stuff with my mind and I believed it with my heart, I didn't really have all of it settled in my heart that I trusted him in completely in every situation. And, you know, it's just like he just, as we grow, we continue to get the heart peeled away. And there's things that he brings up or he lets come up so we can just get taken care of, so we can work through, that he can train us up. And so, you know, I was just letting myself get discouraged. And during that, you know, I was just letting self-pity try to rise its ugly head. And that's, you know, and, you know, the thoughts are coming into your head and all this stuff. And woe is me. And it just kept bringing me down and down and down. And I was listening to Stacey Campbell share. And, I was crying out for God. But I don't know. There was too much other stuff I was letting my attention be drawn to. And she said, she was speaking, and she said the sentence, and it was, God created a dwelling place for man because one day man will become a dwelling place for God. And when she said that, my spirit like leaped. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And even though I'm like, God, where are you in this? And I heard him, not audibly, but I heard him in my spirit, strong as I've ever heard him say, I'm right here. I've never left you. And at that moment, peace flooded me. And I had such a overwhelming sense of peace and oppression lift off of me that I just could just feel it lifting off my shoulders. And I'm like, yeah, you're not there, you know? And I pulled out all these scriptures, you know, I'm united with Christ and joined with Christ. And, you know, but in the middle of all that junk, it just got overlooked. And I wanted Becca to wear the purple leggings underneath her white, because, you know, we are royalty and we're royalty and joined with Christ. And just to say that, you know, she has that white and royalty, and Jesus had the purple, and that we are united and joined with him. Let's go to Ephesians 2:22. Okay, this means that God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies, his dwelling place, through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. And that's it. And, you know, we become what we behold. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, as all of us reflect the Lord's glory with faces that are not covered with veils, we are being changed into his image with ever-increasing glory. This comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And when we set our heart and we set our eyes on Jesus and when we seek him out, we are becoming more like him in every aspect and whatever we do. And, you know, that was my prayer for today, that, you know, that we get that revelation of who we are in Christ. Our identity is in him, and it's not in anything else. It's not in our vocation or our activities or what we're involved in or what someone says we are, but it's in him. And when we realize that, then, you know, that begins to stir that fire up within us. That flame gets fanned, but, you know, we have to do our part. We have to go after him. So I just want to declare this over all of us. And it's Ephesians 1:16. It's the beginning of that prayer, but I'm just going to declare that verse 16 over us. I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would unveil in us the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation through the fullness of being one in Christ. And, you know, it all starts with salvation. It all starts with us, you know, accepting the blood, accepting what he did on the cross. And then from then, you know, it's us going after him. He chose us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. So I would just, you know, they're going to go up and they're going to do Now Behold the Lamb. That dance is just one that speaks the message from beginning to end. And I just want to, you know, I just want to do that. And then we're going to close in one song. When they're done, we'll just, we're going to sing Fall Fresh on Us. And then we're going to close in prayer. But, you know, I just don't want this to be a message for today, you know. I want you to meditate on it. I want you to think about it. I want to think who you are. I want you to think about who you are in Christ, and that you are joined with Him, and His love is just beyond whatever we can ever imagine.